I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make his boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. The honored, esteemed, and beloved pastor of this church, my friend, Pastor Jackson, to his lovely wife, Sister Jackson, to my beloved wife, Deaconess Dorothy S. Campbell, to the ministerial staff of this great church, the Mount Olive Baptist Church, to the officers and members, and to the visiting friends, to all the friends of the Lord Jesus who come today for this great celebration, this time of thanksgiving, of reflection, and rejoicing because of how God has blessed this congregation across 121 years. What a blessing. That's worth praising God about. That's worth thanking God about. That's a tremendous accomplishment. 121 years of blessing. We rejoice today because of the souls that were saved in this congregation, the lives changed, the families blessed, and that this community has been made better because of the witness of this congregation being a burning and a shining light. May God bless you, and may you be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for we know our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to thank Pastor Jackson, who I met some years ago and developed a strong friendship with, for this invitation to come to this great church today and preach Christ and him crucified. We thank God for we have a need of Christ, and we have a Christ for our needs. And I often say to our church with some people, we need sometimes, but we need Jesus all the time. Every day, every hour, every moment, every fleeting second, we need the Son of the living God to help us, bless us, keep us, protect us, and lead us along life's way. Thank God for how the Lord has blessed his church through Jesus Christ under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. First time I've been in regular worship, I was here for a funeral or two, but first time I've been in regular worship, but I love your spirit of praise and thanksgiving. I just believe we come to church, we ought to praise the Lord because he's worthy of all our praises. And I think if we come to church, we ought to rejoice because we have something to rejoice about. Thank God. I'm delighted to have Sister Camel with me today, my childhood sweetheart. We met down in South Carolina. We grew up together, sang on the young choir together and everything. Her father was a pastor in our area. He used to preach revivals, so I said to him I wanted to go to be revivals with him, and I asked him because his daughter would go to the revivals. And after the revivals, while he was shaking hands with deacons and deaconesses, I was getting my rap together. And so the Lord blessed us, the Lord blessed us. We are grateful to God for how he has shown his love, his goodness in our lives. God bless you. It's good to be around your pastor because he's fun to be around. You know, everybody's not fun to be around. Do me a big favor. Ask the person next to you, are you fun to be around? Everyone is not fun to be around. But I found out that people who are not fun to be around like to be around people who are fun to be around. So thank God for you. I desire your prayers. First time I preached to this great congregation. Thank God for this privilege. Prayer makes a difference. And prayer brings about a change. Prayer will keep you standing when you would fall. And prayer will keep you strong when you would be weak. And prayer will keep you well when you would be sick. And according to the Bible, prayer will keep you living when you would die. You remember in Isaiah chapter 38, King Hezekiah's time had run out. And God said to the prophet Isaiah, said, go tell Hezekiah, set his house in order, for he shall surely die, not live. Prayer didn't keep Hezekiah from eventually dying, but because he prayed a short, sincere prayer, God gave him 15 more years to live. God told Isaiah, go back and tell Hezekiah, I've heard his prayer, I've seen his tears, and I'll give him 15 more years. Prayer works. most of us have lived long enough to have tried something, Sister Marks, that did not work. But prayer works. Prayer works in a sick room. Prayer works in a courtroom. Prayer works in a classroom. Prayer works in your room, and prayer works in my room. One reason why prayer works, choir, prayer is God's idea. If you want to try something, it's not my idea. If you want to try something not your idea, then try prayer. Prayer is God's idea. Prayer, God said to Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive the sin. I'll heal the land. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty thing that thou knowest not. So I desire your prayers that God might bless us our time together. Now, I'm not a long preacher. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. But I must say, I'm used to hearing amen when I preach. Most of our congregation, sometimes I wonder what happened in New Jersey, because most of our congregation is from Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Mississippi. And so they used to saying amen. All right, they don't just bow their head, because the preacher might not be looking that way. But the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Is that all right? God bless your heart. God bless your heart. I invite your attention and consideration to the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter. And I want to read from the 14th to the 29th verses. I want to read from the NIV, the New International Version, Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. When you get there, will you say, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
It's never too early in the morning to praise the Lord. It's never too late at night to praise the Lord. And everything that have breath should praise the Lord. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus. "Everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit stretched, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse, the many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" You replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. I want you to notice with me verse 24 in particular. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I want to preach about a conquering faith for difficult times. A conquering faith for difficult times. My brothers and sisters, faith, genuine faith in God, is important, needed, helpful, and rewarding. It helps us with the challenges and changes in life. Our ages, conditions, situations, problems change in life. Faith helps us with the struggles of daily living and the troubles we meet with in life. No one lives long on this earth without meeting with trouble of various kinds. Faith helps us to conquer difficult times. Hebrews 11:1 tells us what faith is today. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In quoting that verse, sometimes people neglect to use the word now. There'll come a day when we won't need faith. But the Bible said now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 reveals to us the necessity of faith if we are to please God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith pleases God. Now, faith is not the only thing, Pastor Jackson, that pleases God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Obedience pleases God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Praising God pleases God. Oh, what a blessing it is to be able to praise God and to realize the true God we should praise. And not the God that humanity has made, but the God that made humanity. Jehovah, the true and living God. El Shaddai, the almighty God, is the God we should praise. I come to church to praise the Lord. I don't just come to be seen. I don't just come to be heard. I don't just come to be in the number. I come to praise the Lord. He's worthy. He did what nobody else could do. He woke me up this morning. Only God can wake us up in the morning. No device, no spouse, no loved one, no noise can wake us up in the morning. God wakes up in the morning. Wakes us up. On this planet of more than 6 billion human beings, God could have carried this world on the day without me and without you. But he decided to wake us up this morning. And then he gave us the strength to get up. But sister and brother preachers, I believe there's some people that woke up this morning, they're still laying where they woke up. They need somebody to get them up. But God gave us the strength to get up and gave us a mind to come to the house of prayer. And Lord, since we're here, I'm going to rejoice. Since we're here, I'm going to praise him. Since we're here, I'm going to magnify his name. Since we're here, I'm going to thank him for his goodness. Since he's here, I want the world to know God is real in my life. So praising God pleases God. Thankfulness pleases God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. Remember in Luke 17, Jesus was going a place. He was passing through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and 10 men, lepers, called out to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And the Lord said, go show yourselves to the priests. And the Bible said, as they went, not before they went, as they went, they were cleansed. I imagine they looked at their hands, and their hands looked new, and they looked at their feet, and their too, and they rubbed their faces, no more sores and ulcers, and they were healed, they were delivered. But only one turned back to praise God. And he was a Samaritan. He fell down at the feet of Jesus, and they thanked him over and over and over again. Now, after he got through thanking the Lord Jesus, the Lord said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They not return to give glory to God, save this stranger. How quick people can forget. One moment they were lepers, one of the most dreaded diseases of the ancient world. One moment they had to dwell out from society, and when somebody met them wasn't leper, they had to cry unclean. They prayed a short prayer. When I came to Evergreen Church 42 years ago, I had some preachers from down, deacons from down home that prayed long prayers. Long, I said, brothers, now listen, the Lord answers short prayers too. And if you talk to him often, you don't have to talk so long. You know what I'm talking about? Talk for him now, but if I'm with Sister Cam all day and I keep talking all day, I don't have to just keep long one long. It's, you can make it short sometimes. Sometimes when I'm preaching, Pastor Jackson, I look at a congregation and I talk about how good God is, how he saved our souls and changed our lives. He healed our bodies and brought us out of trouble. And I see only one person responding. I said, what's wrong with the nine? The Lord blessed them too. The Lord helped them too. The Lord taking care of them too. The Lord watching over them too. What's wrong with the nine? So faith, please God, faith is not merely an incident, an event, or a rare occurrence in the life of a Christian believer. Faith is a way of living. In Hebrews 10:30, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Paul told the Galatian Christians, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. A family with severe problems was in need of a conquering faith. The boy presented in this scripture was being deprived of some of life's most important and greatest things. Good health, freedom, peace of mind, satisfaction, the ability to speak, and enjoyment with family along the way. All of this a demon had taken from him. The father said that he not only couldn't speak, but sometimes he tried to kill him. He cast himself into the fire and cast himself in the water. And good health is a blessing. And the older we get, most of us realize how important health is. When we're young, many times we just kind of take it for granted. I'm going to be healthy. But the older we get, realize that life is a gift from God and good health is a blessing from God. And then to have freedom, not only freedom of worship, but freedom in worship. Yeah, I have preached at some churches where people don't say nothing. I said, my Lord, am I in the right place? I was preaching at a church of another denomination. The pastor told me, if when I'm preaching, if somebody says anything, it throws me off. I said, my God, if nobody said that while I'm preaching, it would throw me off. It would. I would say, well, what's wrong with me? Maybe I'm saying the wrong thing. Maybe I'm in the wrong place. Maybe my mind is not right. There we go. Somebody in the house. If I'm talking about Jesus, know what I'm talking about. Satisfaction is a wonderful thing. And I'm satisfied with Jesus. And then enjoyment in the family. What a wonderful. I was so impressed when I saw these persons being honored today, and then they ask their families to stand. What a blessing to have enjoyment in your family. Our families are very important to us. If you're experiencing the wonderful things I've just mentioned in your life, you should be thankful. You should praise God. You should tell somebody what the Lord is doing in your life. This young person in Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29, was a helpless, hopeless state until he met Jesus. I assure you today, Jesus can change people and things. Jesus can heal and deliver. When I asked the Lord some time ago for 100 more men for the Evergreen Church, the Lord, send me please 100 more men. And so the Lord answered the prayer. Not all one time now. But sometime one, sometime two, sometime three. And so I got a lot of single sisters in the church. You all understand that. And when these brothers start walking down the aisle, they start looking at them like a cow look at a new fence. I said, wait. I love you all. And Pastor, is he single? Does he have a job where he lives at? Does he have his own ride? So I said, now, let me get him in the pool and let him get him in a new converts, new members class. Let me disciple him, then make your move. Let him come on in here first. He might get, if too many of y'all dash at him, he might run out of here. So, oh my God, let me get out of here. I didn't know what I was getting into. But Jesus can change people and things. When no other person can help us, Jesus can and will help us. He loves us and cares about us. He is our Lord, our Master. He's our maker and our sustainer. He's our bridge over troubled waters, our shelter in a mighty storm. He's our light in darkness, our strength in weakness, our help in trouble. Nahum 1:7 said that he is our a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that put their trust in him. This powerful, captivating story is recorded by the synoptic gospel writers. Matthew chapter 17, Mark chapter 9, and Luke chapter 9 present this pathetic case. A caring father brought his son to see Jesus. The Lord Jesus was on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. It was a time of a transfiguration. His deity showed through his humanity. His costume became as lightning, his raiment got white as snow. And there appeared Moses and Elijah. Moses had been dead 1,500 years, and Elijah had been translated 900 years. But they appeared on the mountain talking with Jesus. Peter got excited. Lord, it's good to be here. You know, I like to see a brother excited in church. Don't you know that? Yeah, I really believe every man in church ought to do the holy dance once a year. Every man in church, hallelujah, ought to do the holy dance once a year. Do me one big favor. Look at the brother sitting there. Ask him, has he done the holy dance since she asked him? Every man that's born again, brother deacons, ought to do the holy dance at least once a year. You ought to dance since you left Big Mary's place. You ought to dance since you left Al's joint. You're saved now. You're sanctified. You got the Holy Ghost. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And this joy I have, the world didn't give it. And the world can't take it away. While Jesus was in the mountain with Peter, James, and John, Moses, and Elijah, this concerned father approached some of the disciples. He requested the disciples to cast an evil spirit out of his son. Desiring to grant his request, the disciples tried to cast this demon out of the boy. The disciples failed. In the effort to cast out this demon, they failed miserably. After failing to cast out the demon, the disciples were embarrassed, disappointed, and discouraged. And the scribes, leaders in Judaism, began to argue with them. They probably was glad to see this because they didn't like Jesus anyway. But now, here Jesus' father had failed. And Jesus came down just in time. And he's always on time now. You know, sometimes we wish he had showed up last week or this morning, but he's always on time. Down home where I came from, they said, you can't hurry God. You just have to wait. You'll have to trust him and give him time, no matter how long it takes. He said, God, you just can't hurry. He'll be there. Don't you worry. May not come when you want him, but he'll be on time. He's at the Red Sea in time. To divide the water. At the Jordan River in time to divide the water. In the lion's den in time to save Daniel. In the fiery furnace in time to save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's always on time. Came down just in time and he saw the scribes arguing with the disciples. He said, what are you arguing with them about? And before the scribes or the disciples could answer, this suffering man said, Lord, Master, Teacher, Rabbi, I brought my son to your disciples that they might cast a demon out of him, an evil spirit out of him, but they could not. And so Jesus said, bring the boy to me. He didn't say bring him to us. bring the boy to me. You know, sometimes people look for things out of other people that we ought to look only to Jesus for. You know, when I go to the doctor, I pray for my doctor. Yes, I do. I don't want him to have no bad day. I don't want him to be putting his hand on my chest. What? No. I want him to have a good day. And then I pray about medicine. All medication have side effects. So, Lord, I'm getting ready to take this. Medicine is a drug, you know. And all drugs got side effects. Now, some will kill you right away. I said, Lord. this lady doctor gave me these medicines. And please handle them for me. I want to live. I want Sister Campbell's husband to be around a long time. Bless me, Lord. I don't want my wife to be a widow. Any brothers, you know what? Any brothers here can identify with that, that you don't want your wife to be a widow? No. However, I'm trying to be a tough act to follow. Yes, I am. Just in case, if the Lord take me first, and Sister Jackson, see Sister Campbell at Lot Carrier someplace. Sister Campbell, I see you with a new brother. Since the Pastor Calmer is going to heaven, said, yes, Sister Jackson, but come here. Sister Jackson. He's a good man. He's trying hard. But this is no Guy Campbell. Campbell is a tough act to follow. And all of us want to be a tough act to follow. Every pastor, every deacon, every trustee, every member, every usher ought to want to be a tough act to follow. When you're no longer here, when you're in heaven, somebody said, well, now a new person's at the door. But that person got their work cut out for them because the usher that stood there was a wonderful person, was faithful, congenial, kind, a ready smile. So we ought to try to be a tough act to follow. Yeah. Do I have a witness in here? Yeah. Anybody else in here want to be a tough act to follow? Yeah. Unbelief promotes failure, disappointment, embarrassment, and arguments. Describe the religious leaders in Judaism were arguing with the disciples about what they had, no doubt had happened. And Jesus inquired, and the father of the child let it be known what the problem was. And Jesus said, bring him to me. And he rebuked the evil spirit. And you know, the devil is busy. Well, he come to church. He's in here right now. Don't let anybody fool you now. You think he'll let a crowd like this come and he don't show up? And he's probably in here looking good right now too. And smelling good and acting good. He's here right now. Don't let anybody fool you. But he won't raise his ugly head because the Lord is in here. And the blood of Jesus that washed away our sins. And we are saved and our lives are healed in God through Christ. We have a living testimony. We're not the same. Everything has changed because of Christ. Prayer and faith were the keys to the boy's healing and deliverance. Jesus rebuked the evil spirit. Depart from him and never enter him again. Which you let us know, if you just call you get rid of the devil one time, don't draw down your guard. He's known to show up again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And sometime after you've had a mountaintop experience on Sunday, watch out Sunday night. You sang on the choir that morning, Lord bless you, Holy Ghost move. And you step into work the next morning, and time you step in the door, the devil want to jump on you right away. He's busy. Sometimes he want to call you on your cell phone before you get home. He's busy. But Jesus said, depart from him, get out of him. And enter him never again. And the spirit left when the disciples got alone with Jesus. They're not out embarrassed to ask him in front of the cross, Lord, why? Why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said, this comes by prayer. In another translation, it said, fasting and prayer. Prayer and fasting. In other words, something we have to agonize in prayer for. If you want divine healing, you might have to ask God more than once. If you want deliverance, you might have to ask God more than once. Not because God can't do it at once, but sometimes God want to put you to the test. To see, do you have conquering faith? A faith that will stand in tough times. A faith that will stand in sickness. A faith that will stand in bereavement. A faith that will stand when the job downsizes and you out of work. A faith that will stand when the month runs out and the money long since ran out. You got to have faith to believe God will provide. I know this is difficult. The economy of the Lord will provide. Be not dismayed where they'll be tied. God will take care of you. Believe his hand, wings of love abide. God will take care of the same God that sent Jesus down the cross of Calvary. The same God that raised him on the third day. The same God who's taken care of us all these years. He'll take care of you. Because this is not a bad economy with God. And this is a bad economy with us, but the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. And I believe the Lord can take care of me. Is anything too hard for God? You mean God can't take care of me? Yes, he can. And God can take care of you. He's Jehovah Jireh, the providing God. Oh, thank God. He'll make a way for you. He'll calm the storm. He'll turn things around. He'll open doors to close in your face. He'll inspire you with his blessing. He's a good God. He's an awesome God. He's an on-time God. I love him. I praise him. I trust him. I believe him. So, as I bid you good day, I say to you, as Jesus said to the disciples in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. In Luke 17:5, the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. You're in the right place for faith to be increased. Because Romans 10:17 tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, Jesus showed up just in time to change a family's situation. This boy's father was disturbed, concerned, and fearful for his child's life. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus was in the mountain with Peter, James, and John, Moses, and Elijah. But the disciples down in the valley could not cast out the demon. But the Lord came down. He came down in love. He came down in power. He came down with compassion and healed the suffering boy. Have you any rivers that seem uncrossable? Have you any mountains that you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things that seem impossible. And he can do another power. Only Holy Ghost power can do. The situation was a failure until Jesus got involved. And there is no failure in the Lord Jesus. Sometimes it might look like failure, but there is no failure in the Lord Jesus. On the cross of Calvary, he looked like a failure. He was unlawfully arrested, unjustly tried, beaten all night long. And early Friday morning, they marched him down the crowded streets of Jerusalem, up the slopes of Golgotha's hill. And the Bible said, when they came to a place called Calvary, they crucified him there. They raised him high after they stretched him wide, and they dropped him low. And he died on the cross. He died on a blood-soaked cross. He died on a skull-shaped hill. He died praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He died, and the centurion said, truly, 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 this man was the Son of God. They buried him in a borrowed grave, but I got good news for you. He didn't stay dead, for early, 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 early Sunday morning, he got up with all power, saving power, healing power, delivering power, problem solving power, all power in his hand. Is there anybody here that love my Jesus? Is there anybody here that know the Lord? I want to know, do you know my Jesus? I want to know, do you know the Lord? Is he all right? All right? All right? Can you say yes? He's all right. Yes, he's a savior. Yes, he's a healer. And nobody do me like Jesus. Nobody. Hallelujah. Nobody can do me like Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my all in all. A conquering faith for difficult times. You can have that faith. God will give it to you. You'll stand the storms. You'll overcome the trouble. You'll see the deliverance. But we serve a mighty God. Voice of the church.
Conquering faith. Difficult times. Faith that triumphs. Doors of the church. Doors of the. Is that one? Is that one? Is that one? Doors of the church are open. Is that one? Is that one today?
Offer Christ to you, oh my Sunday. We offer Christ to you, oh my.
Is that one? Doors of the church are open.
He will give you bread to life.
Is that one today?
New life eternal.
Doors of the church, is that one? Is that one?
Come on.
You may be seated in the presence of God. Let the church say amen. Dr. Guy Campbell.